The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. After Jesus had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he came near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples ahead, saying, "Go to the village ahead of you. When you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you will say this, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found things just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought the colt to Jesus. They threw their robes on the colt and set Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their robes on the road. As he was approaching the slope of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And he replied, 'I tell you, if these people would be silent, the stones would cry out.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. To the disciples, it appeared that everything was going well. As Jesus made his way into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, in fact, things were going very well. If they would have thought back on the past few years, they would have recalled things that kings and prophets would have liked to have seen and heard. Jesus did many powerful signs. He made the blind see and the deaf hear. He fed the 5,000 and the 4,000. Jesus taught as one having authority, instead of like the teachers who are only trying to fill the time and cash their paychecks. Many were converted to faith in him. Jesus' overwhelming success might be one of the main things that we should have in our mind's eye when we imagine that Palm Sunday. All around Jesus, there were spontaneous acts of love and honor and devotion. There was no campaign manager there artificially pumping up the crowds with stirring music. That wasn't necessary. The crowds loved him and worshiped him, and this was the only way to understand their actions. They threw down their garments on the road so that the donkey's colt, a small animal carrying a fully grown man, might walk on them. They cut palm branches in their hands and waved them about. Nobody was embarrassed. Nobody was self-conscious. All that they were conscious of was Jesus, and they wanted to catch sight of him. They were praising God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles that they had seen. The words that the crowd said were heavy with what those words signified. They sang, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." They identified Jesus as the King. This would have come as news to Pontius Pilate, the highest Roman official in that region, so also to Herod, who was king in Galilee. Jesus, in fact, had no earthly office or authority. He was a poor Jew from the hinterlands. But these people recognized and proclaimed him as king. Furthermore, they do not recognize him as king pending the approval of the Roman Caesar or any other human authority. They say that he is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. They do not see Jesus as an upstart making his way to the top by his own bootstraps. They recognize him as the Christ, the anointed King sent by none other than God himself. How else could he have done the signs or taught the way that he taught? Believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, which means the anointed one, is the shortest Christian creed, and these people had that confession of faith. The other thing that the crowds say is so outrageous that it makes the Pharisees embarrassed. They say, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." This is a bit too much for the Pharisees. The Pharisees, like every believing Jew, were looking for the Christ, the one who would be like King David, but King David was just a man. And the Pharisees fear that these people's theology is getting dangerously out of whack. A human being might be able to bring about peace on earth, but what is this about peace in heaven? Only God rules in heaven. Furthermore, the people are giving him glory in the highest, and only God, and certainly no man, should be given glory in the highest. The Pharisees tell Jesus that his disciples are in need of a stern rebuke. But Jesus is not alarmed. The Pharisees' theology is correct as far as that goes, but they do not see what the people see, and therefore they are wrong. The people see that Jesus is God. All glory, laud, and honor are to him, the Redeemer King. If he were but a man, then it would be inappropriate to say what they said. Since he is God in the flesh, what they have said is entirely appropriate. All creation sings its praises to Jesus the King. Fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Palm Sunday is when everything was going splendidly for Jesus' disciples. This is just how they hoped everything would go once it was revealed to them that Jesus is the Christ. Exciting things were in store. Oh, the places they might go. It's just a matter of time, they think, before the Gentiles start coming to Jerusalem with their expensive gifts. That will be sweet. And they will have been with Jesus from the beginning, and it's good to be friends with the King. But as you know, at the end of this same week, Jesus would appear before Pontius Pilate, battered and bruised, and there he would declare, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, I would have commanded my angels, and I never would have been handed over to the Jewish authorities, but my kingdom is not of this world." The crown that was placed on Jesus was not a crown of gold, but a crown of thorns. His throne was a cross. He was not held in honor, but was mocked and shamed. Those Pharisees who thought that he was blaspheming on Sunday probably thought that he was getting his comeuppance on Friday. It is fairly common, even among Christians, to look at Good Friday as the day the music died. But that is the wrong way to look at it. If anything, you could perhaps think of this event as a change in key in Jesus being king. It's like one of those bridges to a higher key that Kathy sometimes plays that brings home the whole thing. Good Friday was not an accident. It was not a derailment of messianic hopes. For the disciples, it certainly seemed that way at the time. They had dreams of sitting at Jesus' right and at his left and being great in the eyes of their fellow human beings, but their sights were not set high enough. What the crowds sang on Palm Sunday was entirely accurate, even if they might not have fully realized it or understood how it might come about. The King who comes in the name of the Lord brings about peace in heaven. Jesus' peace brings about an end to the devil's accusations. The devil accuses us of our sins, and would have us hate and fear God as a harsh judge. And he is a judge. God declares Jesus to be guilty and punishes him in our place. The punishment that we deserve for our sins falls upon him, this divine king, until he is crushed and dies under the weight of it all. Thus, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The devil cannot accuse us of our sins before God because the Lord is our righteousness. The fact of the matter, and this is no wishful thinking, but a plain fact, is that God's peace and God's goodwill is toward men. God's favor rests upon mankind because Jesus, the Christ, has achieved peace in heaven. Even if, through progress and hard work, we were able to achieve world peace and cure cancer and cure COVID while we're at it, together with all the other accomplishments we might set for ourselves, this would be nothing compared to what this king does. Even if we were able to achieve all these earthly things and remove the curses and punishments that came with sin, we would still be alienated from our Creator. This king brings about reconciliation between God and sinners. Jesus works peace, goodwill, and happiness. But none of the great works that this king does can really be seen now. They can only be known by faith alone. Many people get lost when the music changes its key. It's too high, and they can't sing it. They are more interested in the things of this world instead of those higher things. Things like, how can I get people to do what I want them to do? How do I use the limited resources to my greatest advantage? I look at you and I think, what can I use you for? All people are necessarily enslaved to their desires, whatever those desires might be, unless they are set free by dying and rising. We have to be born again by water and the Spirit to see the kingdom of God. We have to die with Christ and be raised with Christ. We have to be baptized. Otherwise, we will stick with what we have been doing ever since we were a baby. We will do whatever we can do to manipulate others to achieve our own ends. Jesus the King opens up an entirely different way of looking at life. Instead of looking for how you can use others, you can look for how you can serve them. Instead of trying to lord it over others and have them serve you, you can become as the least and the servant of all. You can walk in the footsteps of your teacher and master. He came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. There is a tremendous change that takes place with the disciples' thinking from the way that the disciples had been thinking on Palm Sunday. Those who continue to believe that Jesus is the Christ, even after he is crucified, died, and was buried, and the third day rose from the dead, those disciples who continue to believe have their thinking changed radically. You can tell it by their actions. The apostles did not go out into the world in order to create little kingdoms for themselves. They weren't trying to gather a following so that they could live off of other people. Insofar as the Holy Spirit blessed them, they poured themselves out rather than trying to gather in as much as they could for themselves. They were no longer afraid of suffering and loss. They were glad to suffer for the benefit of others. This also, just like with our Lord Jesus Christ, can be too high of a key for people to appreciate. It sounds dreadful, in a way, that we should love to the point of suffering and even death. What kind of glory is that? Suffering and death look terrible. There's no crown of gold. The adoring crowds are nowhere to be found, and we just might get the reward of abuse and scorn instead. But do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. It is good to love others, no matter what anybody else might say. It is better to give than to receive. No matter what anybody else might say, it is better to serve than to be served. No matter what anybody else might say. During Holy Week, there is something divine and beautiful going on, even though it can only be seen by faith alone. Apart from faith, what happens to Jesus looks like a tragedy. With faith, it can be seen for what it really is, which is peace in heaven. This is also true with the lives of Christians. The Holy Spirit works to bring about the image of God in Christians, the image of Christ the crucified. This is not defeat. It is a victory. And you can tell by the way that the song goes. It is high and it is beautiful. So hark the glad sound. The Savior comes. The Savior promised long. Let every heart prepare a throne and every voice a song. Amen.